The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Have you ever broken off an engagement? Did you bomb your SATs? Have you been fired for drinking on the job? Well, even if you haven't, I'm here to tell you that someone successful has. Hi, I'm Jenny Mullen. I'm a mom, a comedian, a New York Times bestselling author, and yes, a total failure. Whether you ruined your best friend's wedding, oops, or just have an unhealthy need to constantly compete with your younger and cuter sibling, this podcast will cover it. Join me each week as I talk to friends, comedians, celebrities, pet psychics, ex-boyfriends, and more. All the Fails is a podcast about failure in all its various forms.
Hello, failures. Welcome back to All the Fails. This is part two of Jenny's conversation with her husband, Jason Biggs.
So suddenly everybody knows you.
Yeah.
And the fame thing is, of course, a double-edged sword. But you start being invited to all these parties. The world opens up to you. Mm-hmm. The drinking, the drugs. Like, how did... Take me through that a little bit.
I mean, right away, I had a very unhealthy relationship, I think, with drinking and drugging. And I think it was sort of, first of all, yes, the access, like mm-hmm. you said, money, I suddenly had. No one said no.
Like, yes, exactly. That's
what's
so
interesting about fame, I think, the most weird thing, I think, about being famous is that you get used to people not saying no to you. That's almost always...
But that's what happens when you're a cute girl, too.
I'm sure. No, there's a similar thing. I'm sure.
You're like, what?
There's expectations.
No.
You get, yeah, totally. Yeah. Totally.
And now that you get older and they're like, ma'am, wait in line. It's like, wait a minute. I've lost my edge.
Yeah. Yeah. But no, you've seen it. I mean, it's a very weird sort of thing. And when you're 19, 20, 20, well, real American Pie, ultimately now I'm 21 when American Pie comes out. I just turned 21. Which again, now I'm legal to drink. I mean, I was already partying before that and getting in places and whatever, but I'm 21, starring in a movie that just is a worldwide hit. I mean, access and whatever I wanted. And I also felt like I'd earned it, you know? I felt like there was certainly a bit of that. I put in my dues. I worked my whole childhood and had a real shitty go of it for a while there.
And my parents were so strict.
And also my parents, yeah, because also my parents were strict in general, but also about drinking, as you know, they was very strict. And so, you know, it was a rebellion of sorts. It was all kinds of stuff. So I'm independent. I can make my own decisions now. And this is the decision I'm going to make.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I'm responsible still. I'm going to work. I'm killing it. I'm making movies. No one, they're paying me money. Like I'm not, you know, and I would never, in the beginning anyway, for a long time, I was very good about, you know, I never drank on set or anything like that, but I would drink the night before, but I could bounce back. I was so young and whatever there was
Sprite.
No, like, yeah, yeah, yeah. But I had a thought that I forget. But so all of that is sort of happening, but I noticed right away that my relationship with it is weird. I didn't quite know how weird yet because I didn't have as much of a reference of comparison because again, I'm also partying with friends who were, I think, doing the same thing.
Right.
But mind you, I would also, you know.
You blacking out at this point?
I was not a blackout drunk. I was never a blackout drunk.
Yes.
But I do, you know, remember, I would drive.
Oh my God. Are you kidding?
I drunk drove so much.
And wow, that's insane.
No. I'm mortified by it, the idea. And
yeah.
And by the grace of God, did I not get in an accident or,
wow,
you know, or worse? I mean, yeah. I remember, like, I was not like a swerve all over the road, like kind of drunk. I mean, but it doesn't matter. I was impaired for sure. I mean, my friends and I tried to like, oh, who can drive? Kind of like, we weren't just like, get in the car, but like,
right,
we were all partying. So
right,
it's just a matter of degrees. Who's the least drunk among us? You can drive. But yeah, I drove drunk all the time. I mean, but I remember when I did Saving Silverman. Now, Saving Silverman was like the second or third movie after American Pie. Yeah, the third, actually, because then it was Boys and Girls and Loser and Saving Silverman. They paid me an insane amount of money to star in this movie. And I was going up to Vancouver. And I remember I got to Vancouver and I had like this 2-bedroom apartment at Sutton Place, the Sutton Place. And the first thing I did after I checked into my room, apartment, because of course it had a kitchen and stuff, was go down to the liquor store. And this particular liquor store, it was the first time I had ever seen this, had shopping carts. It was like a big enough liquor store to where you could fill up your carts. I was like, wait, there's shopping carts in a liquor store? Like, it just blew my mind. Like, normally we, yeah. Anyway, and I took a shopping cart and loaded it up.
Wow.
And stocked my apartment. And I remember.
With what? What did you buy?
At that point, I was drinking, it was hard liquor mostly. I think I might have had beer as well just to have it, but I was drinking scotch a lot. I remember having a meeting with Sam Raimi about Spider-Man at the Four Seasons Bar in LA, and he ordered a Maker's Mark, and specifically, he ordered three fingers, and I was like, what the fuck is three fingers? And this is, by the way, this was lunch. Actually, I was on a break from a press junket I was doing, and it was like, meet Sam Raimi down in the bar, and I met him, and he ordered three fingers of Maker's, and he's like, what do you want? And I was like, same, I guess.
Oh my God.
I then
it's
learned.
It's like three yeah. of the... Oh
exactly.
My God.
I didn't know what fingers were. I had no idea. I was like, what is that? Oh. And so I was like sipping Maker's Mark with him neat at the bar. And that was the first time I had kind of had
like a
gentleman drink. Like mm-hmm. normally I've done Maker's, but it was like to shoot or drink out of the bottle to get fucked up. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so I remember being in my room at Sutton Place and getting it all stocked up. And I would come home after work and I would pour myself a scotch. And I would sit down and I...
This is the other thing about Jason, by the way. Like, even when he was young, he liked to act like he was an old man.
Totally.
He would go antiquing. He'd pour himself a scotch. I'm surprised he didn't have like a smoking jacket, and, like a pipe. Like, it is so weird.
I know. I do love the smell of a pipe. But I also remember having a very fleeting thought at that time, thinking, being aware that I was drinking alone.
Hmm.
But immediately putting it, like, well, okay, what? It's, I'm 21, right? Whatever. Yeah. And I'm pouring it, and it's a thing in the end of my day. And didn't Sam Raimi order a drink at lunch? And I'm right. fine, you know, and just, I remember thinking, is this normal? Right? And then just, I proceeded to have, you know.
Gulp, 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 gulp.
Yeah,
gulp,
well, gulp. I do also recall, like, this isn't getting me drunk fast enough and doing a shot of it. And
wow.
You know, but it was basically from that point, it was 15 years, basically, of having those thoughts and burying them. Having those thoughts and burying them. The thoughts would get more and more and more. Yeah, because I didn't want to admit that I was, to me, alcoholic meant failure.
Uh-huh.
Right? And it was a real negative connotation, not just failure, but like a drunk, a lowlife, you know, like in the gutter. That's not me. I'm a working actor, successful with money in the bank. And
yeah.
I'm not an alcoholic. Like, what the hell does
I'm
that even mean?
I'm high functioning. Right.
High functioning wasn't even part of my vernacular. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I don't know any of those words. It's just like, I'm not an alcoholic.
Yeah. And what about with the drugs?
And the same thing, I loved the drugs. I would do anything anyone handed to me.
I for mean, sure.
Anything. And yeah, it was, you know, was doing them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. More again, and towards the end of that 15 years, now I meet you when I'm 28, 29, and, you know, was at the sort of height of my, you know, was doing it. And.
Well, I remember when we met and I said to you, wait, do you drink every day? And you were like, yeah. And I was so, I don't know. It was just like, I had never
thought that's a possibility.
Yeah. I mean, my mom does or did, but that was the only point of reference for me in terms of like somebody who might have a drinking problem.
Yeah, yeah.
You weren't like topless on a bar in Mexico.
Exactly,
so it didn't seem like you were an alcoholic, but I did think like, God, it's strange. He really drinks every day?
Yeah. Yep.
But we were also partying a lot. I mean, like when we first got together, it was, you know, not a lot of, I mean, more drugs than I ever did in my life.
Yeah.
But I definitely didn't think you had a problem. I knew that you were excessive with everything.
Yeah.
With food, with
yep.
the things that you loved, you did
on a grand scale, and that was also part of how I rationalized the drinking and the drugging. Was like, I'm living life, it's fun, I'm going for it, like I'm not gonna be a bore, I'm not gonna, you know, let's do it, we live once, blah, 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 you know, whatever. It was like that with everything.
Like when you met my mom and she's like, want a screwdriver, it's 9 a.m and you're like, yeah, I love this woman,
I love her,
you guys were perfect for each other,
love her.
Now you're both sober.
So
when did you finally go, okay, I have to face this? Because it definitely caught me by surprise.
Yeah. Well, it was a lead up. It wasn't one day I woke up and was like, oh shit, I have a problem and I'm going to say something to you about it. It was years at that point, years of me going, shit, I think something's
wrong.
This isn't normal.
You knew it wasn't normal.
Yeah. At a certain point, for a long time, I was like, this is totally normal. It's fine. Look at all these people. I'm good. Everything's good. Da, 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 da. You know, would question it. Moments of going, is this weird that I'm doing coke by myself and on a Tuesday night? Ah, whatever. It's fine. You know.
Right.
But then somewhere, you know, in my mid to late, you know, later 20s, it switched. Oh, sorry. 30s, after we were together a few years, it switched to this isn't normal.
Yeah.
The question is, how am I going to handle this?
Yes.
Am I an alcoholic type? It's not normal. Or is it just like, okay, I'm going to grow out of it.
Uh-huh.
Like recognizing that this is not how I can be for the rest of my life. This is not normal.
Yes.
But maybe it's, I'll just not drink when I turn whatever.
Oh,
right. Or I'll, you know, when I'm, I think I remember 30 being like something for me, like I'll stop doing, I don't know. I, in my head, made up all these little things, you know.
You were pretty fucked up on your 30th birthday.
I was.
So I don't know if 30 was the
that
marker.
Was not, maybe that wasn't it. But thinking in my head, when I'm turning a certain age, I'm obviously not going to do this anymore. Or I can go however long without drinking, right? And I would test myself sometimes. Without ever saying anything to anyone, this was all internal struggling, you know? And I would be like, I'm gonna, you know, not drink next week, you know?
By the way, we had beer on tap in our old house in LA.
Beer on tap. And a fridge that was filled with weed.
With weed.
Weed and beer and
Coke
weed and everything.
Mushrooms.
And yeah.
There was everything at our house in LA.
Yeah.
But
it would be
Bowl.
Like, yeah. So whatever the test was, it was, you know what? I'm not going to smoke weed all next week, or I'm not going to drink, or whatever it was. And I would fail everything, you know, be like, okay, just tomorrow, I'm going to take tomorrow off. You know, I'll show up. Of course I don't. I can
go one day.
I can do this. And I couldn't.
You couldn't go one day.
I would always do something.
You'd smoke something. A menthol cigarette or something.
Well, I was smoking still at that time, but I mean, drug or drink, like it was something. If I wasn't drinking, I would take a hit of a bowl, you know,
yes.
Or something. It was always something.
Picturing you as a stoner, you were never really a stoner.
No. And frankly, it was mostly the booze. Like I really would drink just about it. Yeah. Every day. I mean, yeah. So yeah, it was a real like struggle for a few years. And then I just started collecting sort of proof for myself.
Uh-huh.
It was obvious. It would become more and more obvious that I couldn't do something about it on my own.
Yes.
And that I had failed at that. Like I thought I could once I recognized that it wasn't normal, I said to myself, well, I can beat this. I don't need to. I can just stop doing it.
Right.
And I failed at that. And I was like, oh, okay. So a few years of struggling with that, realizing that I couldn't do it on my own, that I couldn't just stop for even a day. And so that's when sort of, for me, everything sort of came crumbling down. And also that was a very weird time coming back to, it's so interesting, coming back to that Subway story, you know, it's a real parallel to Twitter, my Twitter days. And so, you know, as you know, but maybe your audience doesn't, you know, I got into some trouble for making tweets. And again, that was all, I was drinking and struggling and drugging. And even if the tweets weren't necessarily themselves made in a blackout or a stupor, a drunken stupor, it was a time in my life where I was just a head full of snakes. Work was weird. I was, you know, it was like, it was now American Pie was pretty in the, I guess we did a fourth one. So that was a bit of, but it became clear to me that I was, frankly, having a hard time doing anything other than American Pie. I hadn't, all of my movies that were not American Pie failed. And, you know, I'm so glad that I was actually at the age I was, and I was given a ton of money by studio heads to carry these movies, and they failed. And I was bummed about it, but I didn't realize just how, like, like that was, you know,
yes.
They stopped calling. That's what happens
right
when that happens. And I didn't put it all together right away. I was like, oh, another one will come along. And, you know, and
because a movie does feel like such, I mean, there are so many moving parts to it. There are so many people that it's different than like, oh, I had a book come out and it failed. So like, that's going to reflect
personal.
On me.
It's like,
oh, well, we all had this movie fail. The studio had it fail
as well.
The director, the producer, had it fail.
But I didn't necessarily connect to, but I'm not going to get part. Like,
this will affect
me. This failure actually does affect me in a very real way. And I didn't sort of put that together right at the time. I just thought, well, the next one will kind of come along.
Yeah.
Or, you know, interestingly, I was also maybe a little naive, but also prepared in a weird way also to more than most, I think, to deal with the failure, having experienced it as a kid, or so I thought. In hindsight, I was dealing with all that stuff by drinking and drugging.
Yes.
You know?
Oh, that's interesting.
So I was able to sort of coast and kind of do that because I was just getting fucked up. But I think inside, deep down, I was really struggling with, fuck, I'm not the star I was in 1999. I'm not getting the same phone calls. I'm not all the things.
And it's also like there were roles you passed on that did become ginormous successes.
Yeah.
And that's also got to be so...
It killed me.
Such a mind fuck.
It was such a mind fuck. Such a mind fuck. So now I'm like, I can't even...
So at least somebody who's so like failing as an actor is like, well, whatever. Like, nobody's giving me a part.
But this was, I got offered the part and I made a bad decision.
Yeah, that would kill me.
Like, so not only am I not getting offered the parts, but the ones, or, you know, like in the way that I used to, but the ones that I'm being offered, I'm making bad decisions around.
Uh-huh.
So I'm failing like on offer, and then I'm just drinking and drugging to sort of deal. And, you know, yeah, it was a very, very weird time. And then, you know.
But you were in therapy at this point, right?
I had started, because
you were in therapy.
I was. So yes. So I had started therapy, and that was a huge turning point for me. And I started to treat finally my OCD. I didn't realize that it was even something that could be treated. I didn't even have a name for it. OCD was like the thing you joked about, like if you washed your hands too much, you go, oh, you have OCD. Or no, if you like cleaned your house a lot, that's what it was. They'd be like, oh, you have OCD. But actually, I had OCD, like for real OCD. And so, so there were steps forward for sure. Started taking medication for my OCD, started like having the ability to, you know, coming out of that relationship that I was in, it was very like, I had really guilt ridden and had a hard time taking sort of agency and for myself and looking out for myself. It was always, how do I got to take care of someone else's feelings. And so, and I would suffer as a result. And so things like that were definitely happening, like steps in the right direction, growth.
Yeah.
But I was also ruining it all by drinking and drugging, and because I was struggling with all this other stuff, and I couldn't be honest about my drinking and drugging because that really felt like a failure.
With me.
With you, with my therapist. So I'm going to therapy and I'm working on things, but meanwhile, I'm, you know, leaving therapy and having just had a good session, and I'm going to the liquor store and buying a fifth of vodka and drinking it and then driving home.
I was married to this guy?
Mm-hmm.
This is so weird to me. These are the things that like shock me. I'm thinking like, how did I not notice those things?
Two things.
One, I didn't know to look for it.
Yeah. Yeah. So three things. You didn't know to look for it.
No.
You had your own stuff going on, you know, like you were busy.
But if you were wasted, honey, coming into the house, like there were times when you'd be like, take me to McDonald's, and you'd be so wasted that I would like get scissors out and like cut your hair and like do fucked up shit.
I knew how to get wasted enough to where I took myself out of the life equation, took myself out of the present, didn't have to connect in a way that made me feel things.
Yes.
But not... it was all science. I had it figured out to a T, but not get too drunk where I couldn't have a conversation with you or
but
be
you'd
presentable.
Get very like, this was you on the alcoholic Jason wasn't like somebody who was like beating me or doing like, it was more, he'd get very paranoid and very like needy. Suddenly he would be like, baby, are you okay? Are you okay? What's going on? Like it was that.
Yeah.
And I'd always notice like something was up based on your level of like paranoia almost.
Yeah, so you could sense it, but there was no reason for you to think that it was ever beyond that.
No.
Yeah.
There weren't like beer bottles all over the house. There wasn't, I don't know. It was
no, but you know, I could tell you things that maybe you would go, oh, I suppose, but you just didn't know to look for it.
Like what?
Most of those bottles, I was replacing those bottles in the bar all the time.
Really?
All the time. I would go through them and then like go to Pavilions and get groceries and like come upstairs and put the other bottle in a bag, recycling, and throw it out. Like none the wiser.
None the wiser. Wow.
Yeah.
And I had no idea.
Yeah. No idea.
Did Teets know?
Teets knew.
Did Teets tell you had a problem?
Teets implied.
With his eyes.
That may, no, you know, he knew the way to deal with an alcoholic is not to say you have a problem, but to say, you know, like,
let's go to a meeting.
Yeah. Yeah. He took me to my first meeting.
So like him to do that.
He did. He was sweet. He's like, look, I'm going to tell you something. I'm not an alcoholic.
But I also
but
have
I am
to
a
live
sex
with Jenny.
Addict. I'm a sex addict. So much so that they had to cut my balls off. Okay.
I have to live with Jenny to understand that you need something.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, I get it.
I get it. Well, you're driven to drink.
Yeah. So anyway, to admit that I had a drinking problem was to admit that I was a failure and it was really hard to do.
But you did do it. You were in New York. You were working on Orange.
Yeah.
And you called me and I was in Hawaii.
No.
Yes,
no.
I just want to say that I was a ballistics missile expert. On Hawaii 5-0.
Oh, Hawaii 5-0?
Yes. A ballistics missiles expert.
You can't even say
I was a ballistics missiles expert. And Jason interrupted to tell me, I think I have a drinking problem.
Well, but there were three distinct moments that I recall that were like, whoa, cross the Rubicon.
Okay. What were they?
The first was telling my therapist.
Okay.
I first told Barbara.
Okay.
Yeah. But I told you twice, actually.
Yes.
And the first time I told you, I was in our media room at Hollywood Boulevard, having drunk one of the bottles and smoked weed and just, who knows, took a Klonopin, I don't know, watching on the big screen, and you were in Hawaii or somewhere. And that was the first time I called and you were like, what? And okay. I was crying.
You were crying. I was in Hawaii.
But I remember kind of walking it back, I believe. Like you came home and it was like, what's up? And I kind of regretted saying anything. This is my memory of it. That time is really foggy. Even the sober days are foggy because my head was just in a fucking, I don't even know. But my remembrance of it is, you coming home and being like, and then me kind of walking it back and drinking again. Like it didn't end there.
You didn't stop drinking
away. No. I remember now I had like opened this box with you, but I was like, well, I don't know. Yes, I just need to cut back. Like somehow convincing you that, and me that it's, you know, it was like, whew. And I felt like I got away with it.
And was that why? Because you thought I was going to start policing you?
Well, yeah, it was just once not so much you policing me, so much as once I put it out in the world, it's an admission to myself as well that I can't, it's done. Like, how do you then drink again? How can you drink again if you've, you know, now?
Well, you said to me, I drink more than you know. I'm drinking more than you know, and I'm hiding it from you.
Okay, so was that that conversation? Because yes, I also remember another conversation when I was in New York talking to you as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that one was the second one where I was more like, this is it. Now, Barbara, my therapist, might have happened in between there.
Yeah.
Either in between those two or before the first one of you. But I think it was I told you, walked it back as much as I possibly could.
And then you said
nothing changed. Yeah. It's like, fuck, finally told Barbara.
Right.
Because I also really knew that if I told Barbara, my therapist, then there, even though I paid her and I could leave her at any moment and da 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 da, it just felt like once I tell her, that's it.
It's done. Yeah.
And I think I told you when I told Barbara the amazing thing that happened, you know.
Yes.
My therapist told me, she's like, I've been sober for 34 years and I'm glad you told me and I can help you. I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, that's amazing.
Then going back in my head, thinking of all the stories I told her about, you know,
drinking. She knew you were an alcoholic way before.
Dude.
Yes. Yeah.
So then I believe I was in New York and was like, Jenny, it's real. Like I maybe that was I drink more than I don't know.
I drink more than you know was when I was in Hawaii.
Okay, so maybe that was the first one that I walked back.
You were crying and I was like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, people don't like, you know, I think you came back and were like, what? But also kind of still, it's not fun to think that. And if you come home and you're like, shit, this is my theory on you, you tell me, or people in general that are with alcoholics, it's like, if you're told for the first time that maybe your spouse has a problem and you're like, oh my God, okay, that's some shit to deal with. That's heavy. That affects me as well, of course. And then you come home and your spouse is now saying, no, it's fine. Like if I was the spouse, I'd be like, oh, now I know not to. But I mean, at 29 years old, I'd be like, oh, okay. Cause right? Like I'd want to believe that he doesn't have a problem. Does any of that resonate or what? Because I was able to walk it back pretty well with you and just go back to my routine for a little bit. Or were you just too busy? I mean, I don't know.
I think that like, you know, compared to my mom, you were never a sloppy drunk.
Right.
So
just easy to hide it with you.
I had seen, like to me, alcoholism looked different.
Different, yeah, yeah.
And
yeah. That's a good
you
point.
Were so responsible and you were such a like, present husband for the most part. You know, I never felt like abandoned by you where you were like choosing the drinking over me or whatever. It was more like I was going to support you in whatever your decision was, but I didn't have like true investment in like, oh my God, Jason's going to be so different if he doesn't drink and my life's going to be so much better.
And
I've
like,
got to get him sober.
Yeah, I have to get him. I have to help him get sober now.
No.
Like it was just, yeah, I get that.
No.
I get that. That makes perfect sense. Yeah. So, but at that point, for me, it was, but then as you know, I spent 4 years, you know, the ultimate irony of my sobriety I found, and this, a lot of people, when I share this in the rooms are like, oh, yes. I get that, is I spent the last 5 years of my drinking thinking I was an alcoholic, maybe an alcoholic. And then I spent the first 5 years of my sobriety thinking maybe I didn't have a problem.
Well, that's interesting. That's interesting.
Right? So.
Well, and people around you say, like, it's so wild because I feel like so many more people have a drinking problem than want to admit it. And you can tell instantly the way they react to a sober person. Like they want to convince you don't have a problem because if you have a problem, it means they have a problem. I see it constantly with you.
Jenny, I didn't tell you this, but we don't need to get into it because I do think we should, something else I'd like to talk about. But in Bangkok, I dinner one night, there was a guy, sweet as can be, sweet guy, but it was the whole night was him literally.
It's just looking at you like.
No, even crazier than that. Trying to get me
to drink.
To drink.
Oh, how strange.
The whole night. And like for real. Like not like, come on, like a joke or whatever. Like, I really think you should have a drink the whole night.
How weird.
It was wild.
Yeah, people have a problem with it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's wild.
But I think that like having Sid and me having a baby. And you know, I always look back because I remember you begged me to have a kid for so many years before we actually had Sid. And I remember what you would always say would be like, you need to have a baby because then I'll have to grow up.
Oh, wow.
And I feel like you desperately wanted a reason to have to stop.
Yes, I knew at that point. Totally.
And I always think about that as like, you wanted desperately to have the reason.
God, I need to bring that up in a meeting. That's totally right.
Yeah.
I forgot that I would say that to you.
All the time. Give me the reason. And once I was pregnant, you did stop.
Yeah. Well, that was my first, that was when.
That was your first go.
Yeah. Yeah. Were you pregnant in Hawaii Five-0?
No.
No.
I was a ballistics missiles expert.
Yes, yeah. How could you possibly?
You can't be pregnant and be working with missiles.
No. You can't. You can't.
But speaking of Sid, I know we don't have a lot of time and we'll probably have to do a full fucking another episode on like this in general.
Fails as a husband, fails as a parent.
Yes. But just like, I feel like we have to stop because I'm going to get in trouble.
Okay.
And there's so much more to discuss with you. But I just want to ask, like, as a parent, Brooke wrote this beautiful piece this week where she said, you know, I think one of the biggest mistakes we make as parents is trying to parent the child that we were instead of the child that we have.
Such a great line.
And I think that you and I both are guilty of that. Everyone probably is. But like, is there anything that you would want to like say about that?
Yeah.
Do you find yourself doing that? Especially because you have two sons.
Yeah.
I think same sex children, like not them being the same sex, but when you are the same sex as the child, it's even easier to sort of over-identify sometimes.
Yeah. So it's like, so be the parent that your child needs as opposed to
the parent that you
that
needed.
You wanted. Yeah, that you needed. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, God, it's that lands for me for sure.
Do you think you're fucking up?
Yeah. Sure. Yeah, it feels that way all the time. I mean, it's interesting because on the one hand, I know that I'm such a good dad. It's like the acting thing. It's like I have this confidence that like I know.
Yeah.
You know? And not just because of reference of comparison, the old cliche about dads and being yes, compared to that shit, I am like a 10 for sure. But on a macro level, like micro or macro? I think you say macro, even though it's in our house, you know, I have that confidence. I know I'm a great dad and I go above and as much as I can above and beyond. But I know that I'm messing up still all the time. And it's those failures that I will dwell on and like kick myself for, you know, whether it's my temper, you know, and taking the bait like that. You know, one of the things I'm probably guiltiest of is if you and I get into something and I'm upset at you, I take it right out on Sid or Laszlo. It's crazy. And I know I'm doing it as I do it. And it's like, fuck, you know? Or, yeah, all the sort of, you know, I mean, look, the screens and the, you know, all of that stuff is its own crazy, weird world that I struggle with every single day, as you know, as we do. I think in general, we have a pretty good policy in place, but I also wonder if it's not the right, good enough, you know, or do we capitulate too often? Do we, you know, are we too inconsistent? You know, I think about the things that we say, you know what I think about too, not even like the specific things we say to them, the lessons we want to impart, but I think about the behavior that we model. And I don't just mean about, yes, we get in fights and I wish we didn't as much as we do. I also am not too concerned. I'm concerned about it, but I also know that it happens, but it is on my mind. Like, of course, I don't want to be in a fight when we're in front of them. It's not like something I'm like, whatever. It's like, it's real, but I also, whatever.
You grew up with much crazier fights.
I grew up with much, much crazier. That's okay. Not that that makes this okay. You know, when Laszlo goes, can you please stop fighting? It kills me.
Yeah.
Like it kills me. But you know, I worry about like I don't the way we talk about things, you know, or people, you know, or gossip. I love gossip. You gossip. We gossip all the time, but like they see it. The things that they see that we think maybe aren't that big of a deal. I think we're doing it like that for me is like where I think there's constantly little like chips at their understanding of the world that we do unbeknownst to us. And those are the things I worry the most about. And sometimes I see them, I probably see them more when you do it and you see them more when I do it, but I'm doing them all the fucking time. And I'll realize it after the fact, sometimes in the moment, but like, it's often like, oh man, maybe I, you know, just anything, whatever it is. Laszlo's like, Dad, can we please play soccer? And my agent calls.
Right. That kills me. That's my thing too.
I just got to take this or whatever. That was the first example that came to mind because I know you also connect to that real hard. Mm-hmm. But like, I don't know. It's a million things I can't even think of right now that will drive me to like think, fuck, man, I'm really, yeah. It's also really hard. The thing where I get is, you know, Sid is me in a lot of ways. And so I get triggered, you know, his like obstinance, his stubbornness, his wanting to fight back.
Yeah.
As if I'm a peer and not a parental figure, an authority figure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now my parents had other means to enforce that I do not have and will not have proudly. But as you know, I am left sometimes feeling absolutely handcuffed and just
powerless.
And of course that makes me rage and yell and I get upset. But beyond that, it just makes me go, I can't do anything here. And then, you know, you see that people on Instagram, the parent blogs and the things, and they'll say something that you go, oh, that's exactly how I should have handled it. And then I read these things and I beat myself up because I'm like, yes, that's so easy. It sounds so easy. But then I realize that's it. That's all it is. It sounds so fucking easy.
Yeah.
Yes, Dr. Becky, brilliant mind. She's right about everything she says for the most part, I believe, that I've seen. Easy to be a talking head and say it to the camera. When time comes to do it, I'm just like, why can't I? Like, is that a fail? Or is that just, you know, and it's easy to just be like, well, it's parenting, it's hard. But it's like, no, like, we can always do better. We can do better. I don't want to excuse it just because it's hard. It's like, yes, we do need to let ourselves off the hook a bit, but we also can do better.
Mm.
I don't know.
I forgive you. Honey, I want to air this whole episode in its entirety. I know they're going to chop it up if we keep talking. So will you promise to come back?
Yeah.
I love you so much.
I love you too, baby.
You're the best husband.
Mm.
And I love that you are so strong as like a human being that you can talk about your fails.
Thank you, baby. I love you. You're the best wife.
I'm going to hold you to that. And I'm going to actually replay this.
You have just on loop, just a voice memo, just going, oh, really?
Sure. I don't know what this producer will do for me. I'm not sure if it's in my contract at all, but I am going to try to get that little
blurb.
Yeah.
I just said it because you said it about me.
I had a feeling.
Yeah.